And God speaks to us in various manners. I don't know if any of you have ever had God to speak to you, but when you develop a relationship with Him, well, He becomes part of you that sometimes people look at you as weird if they see you talking to God. But God is a real person, and God is available for every person that will call upon Him. And that's what the Scriptures teach us. So that's kind of our background and where we come from. We believe that what we have to offer here is for every member of the family. Every time we come together, we have a children's church very similar to what we're doing here, okay, as we teach the adults or the bigger ones. We have ministry for the teenagers. We also have ministry for even the kinders and the nursery, because the Word knows no boundaries. There's no limitations. We're the only one that can limit God in our life. A lot of times we think, things are not understandable, or you read the Scripture, or you read the Bible, and you don't know what you're reading. It's kind of like speaking a language. You know, a lot of you speak Spanish and English, and if you don't know the meanings of the words, then you're just talking. So it's very important that we not only come and hear a sermon or hear somebody preach, but that we're taught what the Bible says so that we have understanding of what we read. Jesus talked about parables in the Word of God. And, you know, a parable takes something that we can relate to in the natural. For example, Jesus talked about a farmer who sows seed, and he compared to sowing seed as sowing the Word of God. Well, we can put that together, and we find out that the Word of God is a seed, and our heart is the soil. So however our heart is how that seed is going to grow. If our hearts are hard, if our attitudes are rebellious, and we have pride and all those things, then it goes against what God stands for, and it goes against what God teaches. The Bible teaches us that the devil is very real. And, we live again in days. The Bible calls the days that we live in perilous times. You'll find that in the Scripture. And I know you didn't bring your Bibles to children's church, so I won't, quote a lot of Scripture to you, but I'll just tell you in reference about these things. It tells us that in the last days there'll be perilous times. Now, the word perilous means a high stress, high pressure. Anybody under some pressure to perform, or anybody have some stress because of things that go on today, in today's life, in today's world? I believe most would say, there's a lot of pressure on us today to do our jobs, a lot of pressure on us to raise our children, to make sure that we're doing the best job that we can do in our families and providing for our families. And what we have to know is that God is not only able to help us, but He's willing to help us. And the enemy is very real. He's very real. He has a function, the Bible tells us. And I put that on your sheet because sometimes when we talk about God, we forget to talk about the enemy of mankind. Why do we need this relationship with the Lord? Now, there's always going to be opportunities, see, to choose what we believe. God has not made us as robots. We're not puppets. We have what is called a will or a freedom to choose. Everyone in here gets to choose who they will serve. And the Bible says, if God be God, then serve Him. If Baal or the devil, evil be God, then serve that. And we find out, well, hey, there's a lot of gods today. And we have this philosophy now, it seems like in America, that there's many ways to get to heaven and that all the gods lead to the same place. Well, that's a fallacy. That's a lie. Because, again, we have to go back to a standard. What's our standard? this Bible right here, and most of you have a Bible, I don't know if you read it or ever look at it, or have ever been taught the things that are in it, but that's what we use for a standard. When we deviate from the standard, then we're going to get off base. We're going to get out in left field. We're going to get kind of wacko. So we always have to come back, because we believe, first of all, that the Bible is the inherent, inspired Word of God. In other words, the Bible teaches that all the Scripture in that Bible are profitable. You know what the word profitable means, right? It's profitable for instructions in righteousness, shows us how to live right. The Bible says that Abraham, anybody remember the story of Abraham in the Old Testament? That he was a friend of God. And the reason that he was a friend of God is because he put all of his trust in God. And he became what we call the father of faith. Well, the Bible teaches us again, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And if you stop and think about that a minute, you can't please anybody without faith. But most definitely, you cannot please God without faith. Well, faith is what we teach a lot of in here, because that's the way we please God. That's the way we appropriate the hand of God for the blessings that come upon our life. A lot of times we think our source is our job. We think our source is our paycheck or our livelihood. But really, our source is God, because all those things in that realm could end tomorrow. In fact, the Bible teaches us that the heavens and earth, they'll pass away, but the things of God will remain forever. Well, I'm saying all that to say to you, if we don't establish that standard in our life, then things happen that we can't explain. We start getting, you know, out of whack in our family life. We start getting messed up in our marriages. The divorce rate today is very high. Children, are very rebellious today. I know we live in a different era. We live in a different culture. Sometimes I have trouble understanding some of these younger generations, you know, all the text messaging and all the stuff that they do today. But nevertheless, we have to come back and understand that if we do things God's way, we'll be blessed. Our families will be blessed. Our lives, our marriages, and our children and our grandchildren and so on and so forth, they'll be blessed, because the Bible says that we're to train up our children in the ways that they should go. And when they grow older, they won't depart from those things. Now, not all of us were fortunate enough to maybe be established. Maybe our parents didn't take us to church or didn't take us to place. There's a lot of churches, but take us to a place where we could learn the Word of God. Because, again, we don't want just a religious experience. One of the things that we see this week, or you're able to visualize, is that church ought to be fun. Now, there's a serious side. The serious side is we want them to understand God's Word. We want to teach them, just like we teach the adults, just like I'm teaching you tonight. We want them to understand how that God is an all-consuming fire, and that He's a God, He says, I changeth not. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, that tells me one thing. If He said, I'm the God that changeth not, then that means I'm the one that's going to have to change. If there's going to be any change done, it's got to be change from the inside out. Now, religion will try to change you from the outside. But see, a real experience with God will always start on the inside first. The scripture, one of the favorite scriptures that I could give you tonight, is found in the New Testament in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, if any man, and talking about the species of man, be in Christ, he's a new creation. Can you put that up there, Scott? Yeah, just put that up there and you can read it. It says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The Greek, which is the original language that the New Testament was translated from, means a species of mankind that never existed before. Now, I don't want to get real deep on you, but what happens is when we give our life to the Lord and we develop a relationship with the Lord, we become this new creation. And so these changes begin to take place on the inside of us. We look at the system that the world has and the world operates is not the system of God. Well, Christians need to operate on God's system, not on the world system. Well, but it's very difficult for us to do that because we're trained all of our life, all of our upbringing, everything that we do evolves around the system. I'm talking about the system in which the way the world operates. So, we have to understand that old things are passed away. What does that mean? That means that, and you're going to hear something, I'm going to use a word here, one of these big Bible words. It's called propitiation. How many of you ever heard that word? Well, it's in the Bible. In fact, there's like three scriptures in the Bible that use that word, propitiation. And that's just a big Bible word, which simply means that Jesus became a substitute. He became a sacrifice that pleased God. Now, you might be asking, why did God have to be pleased? Well, remember in the Garden of Eden, God made man and he made woman. He took woman out of the side of man, made woman. And he blessed them. The Bible says he made them in his own image and likeness. And he gave them dominion over all the earth. In other words, they were to have authority in this earth. And what they spoke, they were to be like little gods in this earth. And you know, it was a perfect environment. God was providing everything that they needed until they sinned. And what happened? Everything was stripped away. That's what we call the fall of man. And every person that has been born since the fall, the Bible says that they are, Jesus said it this way, he said, you are of your father the devil. Now that insults some people because they don't like to be associated with the devil, but I'm just telling you what the Bible, so if you want to get mad, you know, get mad at God or the Bible, I'm just here to tell you what it says, okay? And so we have to become born again because we were all born in sin. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So from that moment that they sinned, somebody said once that once Adam sinned, see, everything was provided for him. God provided every day everything they needed. But once they sinned, Adam and Eve, they had to learn to feed themselves. They had to learn to go out and provide for themselves. Remember, they were even ashamed. And so, because Satan, or the devil, is in this earth, he has corrupted mankind, the seed of man. And again, today, we see all this evil, and we see a stand. You know, it's the war that we fight in Iraq and fighting around the world globally against terrorists. You know, really, it's a war against God. It's good versus evil because they do not want people to proclaim that Jesus Christ is the only way in which mankind can be saved in this earth. Now, there are religions and there's denominations that will tell you if you're part of the church, you're saved. But that's not according to the Word of God. See, that's a manufactured or a man-made lie to get people to believe things that are not true. So, we either have to come back and say, I'm going to believe God or I'm not. Well, I made a choice to believe God. And one day I had an encounter with God. And God, you know, dealt with me about things. I thought I was a good person. I went to church. But, you know, God dealt with me one day and I gave my life to Him. And I became that new creation. And the old things passed away. In other words, Jesus became, remember that word, propitiation? He became a substitute for me because the Bible tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Anybody here never sinned? I don't think so. If you say you've never sinned, then the Bible calls you a liar, right? And if you tell me you've never sinned, I'll just let you come up here and take my place and you'll be the perfect example, okay? But The fact of the matter is we all sinned and we came short of the glory of God. So that separated us. Now, all this is on your sheet. I'm just kind of going over some things because I just got another 5 minutes or so with you. But that separated man from God. So if man is separated from God, then there's only one way that we can bridge that gap or come back into a right standing with God. Because if we're not right standing with God, then we won't have eternal life with Him in heaven. How many know that someday we're all going to die? I'm talking about the physical part of us. We're going to die. And the choice that we make in life has to be made while we're alive. You can't make the choice after you die. There's nobody that knows when their last breath will be taken. Remember those students there in Virginia a couple of months ago? I mean, I'm sure they went to school all cheerful and all ready to go. This plane that crashed in Florida killed some young children, about the age of the children of some of yours in here, you know, just drop out of the sky and exploded and blew the house apart. Well, you see, once something like that happens, you're where you're going to spend eternity. You're going to spend eternity based on the choice that you made in this life. You're not going to stand before God and say, well, I went to church every week. I went to church 3 times a week. Or my mother and daddy were in church. You can't use that because every person has to be born again or have a relationship with God. Well, Jesus became that propitiation or that sacrifice when He went to the cross. How many of you saw that movie Passion of the Christ a couple of years ago or 3 years ago? And really, it was a very graphic detail of what happened that allowed you and I to have or to get back right standing with God. The very thing that Adam lost in the garden, it took almost 4,000 years later to get that back. And that event was the day that Jesus went to the cross and He hung on the cross. And if you remember, the reason He hung on the cross was to pay what? Pay the price for our sins. He said, "He that knew no sin became sin." We could keep reading there in 2 Corinthians 5. "He that knew no sin became sin so that we could become the righteous of God in Christ Jesus." So when I allow Jesus to come into my life, into my heart, and by the way, the only way we can please God is by what? Remember? By what? By faith. And faith only comes one way. It's by hearing. So if you're never in a position to hear the Word of God, you can't develop faith. You can't grow faith. You've got to hear the Word of God. That's why we deem it so important. Not only do we minister to the parents like you or adults, but that our children are receiving the Word at a level they can grasp and understand, because in their little spirit, they're growing in faith also. And if their faith is growing, then they're going to be strong. And they're going to get out there in the real world, and they're going to know the difference between right and wrong. And not only that, they're going to have the inside force to help them. You see, it's not easy. Just like a drug addict, you can tell them just stop it. But you know they can't stop it, can they? They don't have the inside help. Well, a Christian has not only inside help, but they have inside information. And we know where our help comes from, and we know who our source is. Our source is the Lord. And so Jesus went to the cross, and that day He took every sin that we've ever committed. And when we come to Jesus, we ask Him what? First of all, we ask Him to forgive us. It's there on your sheet. We have to first realize that we're lost. It's very difficult to get people. You've heard the term saved, salvation and saved and born again, I'm sure. It's very difficult to get people saved until you get them lost or until they discover that they're lost. You know, some people think that just because they're good and they don't hurt anybody and they're morally good, that they're okay. But that's not what the Bible teaches, and that's not what the Bible says. That's good that you can be good, and that's good that you can be morally good and you can do good. But it's not the way to salvation. And so we believe that these things are important and they're vital. And we want to try to change our world, but make our world better. And the only way we can really make our world better is by the individual changes that take place in our heart through relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We all deserve the death penalty. Not a one of us in here deserve the grace of God. But because grace is a free gift, God had mercy upon us and He sent Jesus. And the Bible says, God so loved the world, John 3:16, that He gave us His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him, what, would not perish, but have eternal life. So I wanted to share those things just to kind of give you a little broad scope, of what we stand for here, what we're trying to accomplish in the community. And we're not here to, again, to practice religion. We're in here to teach people how to live what the Bible teaches us. One of our mottos that we have in here is that we give you news that you can use. In other words, I don't want you just to hear a sermon, but I want it to become something practical for you that you can apply to your marriage. You can apply to your raising your family or your children. Because God has an answer for every situation that we face in life. Now that's good news. God has a solution for every test, every problem, every circumstance. You know what? It's all in His Word. And if we have Jesus in our hearts, we have His Word in our hearts. And if we have our Word, or we have His Word in our hearts, then we have an answer to every solution on the inside of us. Remember I said it's got to come from the inside out? So every answer you need is already on the inside, but we got to figure a way to get it out there where we can use it and where it becomes practical in our lives. So I want to thank y'all tonight for coming. And just let me share this a little bit. It was on our heart. We not here again to preach to you, but just to let you know that, and I see this a lot as a pastor. Parents sometimes get under conviction or guilt. They're not, teaching their children about God and so on and so forth. So they drop them off to church. We have a lot of children that come. Their parents don't come. But you see, in that type of setting, then it becomes a double standard. Because we can't take the place of what goes on in your home. We're here to reinforce and to help you so that the things that you do at home represent what you learn and what they learn in God. But if they see the double standard or the double lie, then it becomes very hypocritical. And even though I thank God that they at least get here, but that's why I think it's also important that you understand that you need to learn and you need to grow. We never stop learning. And we never stop growing in God. No matter how much education we've gotten or how much school we've gotten, because God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So I want you just to stand with me. I know you sat here for about 20 minutes or so, and I'm gonna just pray for you, okay? And I encourage you to take the sheet. I think covered everything. I think on the sheet there, maybe deviated a little bit with some examples. If you've never received the Lord into your life, it tells you exactly the Bible way to do that. The Bible says that if any body, any man, any woman calls upon the name of the Lord, they will be saved. That's important. That you understand that you have to do that. You have to make a choice to do that, okay? Don't think that you have to know everything to be a Christian, but you have to know first step. The first step is to realize that you're a sinner. Realize that you're not going to spend eternity with the Lord just because you're good. You've got to have a relationship with God. And it begins by asking the Lord to come into our heart. Now, I want to just pray, for anybody. I'm not going to call you up here or anything, but if you would like for me to lead you in a prayer tonight to make sure, and maybe some of you are Christians and you're saved, and that's great. But if you're not, I want to give you opportunity to do that, okay? And to get your slate. I remember when the pastor told me, he said, you get a brand new start. I said, wow. He said, where can you go to get a brand new start? Well, you think about that. You get a brand new start. And the slate is wiped clean. And you say, how do you know that, Pastor? Because the Bible tells me again that he takes our sins and he says, I remember them no more. He takes them and throws them into the deepest part of the sea. Well, that's good news, isn't it? Because I'm sure like myself, you probably did some things somewhere back there you're not real proud of and probably don't want a lot of people to know about them. But the thing about it is that they can be forgiven in the Lord. So I'm going to ask you just to bow your heads with me as we close tonight. And we do this every night with the children. We do it every time in the children's church. But how many of you right now, and you don't have to say anything, but how many of you right now know that you're right with God, that you have a right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm not talking about how you're living right now, but do you know that you're right? Now, if you can't answer that positively, but you would like to ask the Lord to come into your life to help you be a better father, or mother, help you be a better grandmother, or a husband, or a wife, or a better person. But most of all, to help you be a Christian and to love God. We cannot even obey God. The Bible says, if you love me, he says, you will obey me. The reason people don't obey God is because they don't love God. And the Bible says he loved us first while we were yet sinners. So I'm going to ask you right now, everybody just close your eyes. We just do this in reverence and respect. Just everybody close your eyes. And if you say, I would like for you to pray with me, lead me in a prayer, Pastor Moss, to invite the Lord to come into my life and forgive me and allow me to be a person born again like you talked about with my slate wiped clean. If that's you tonight, and you just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed just a moment, just lift your hand where you are, wherever you are, and I'll pray, okay? Just lift your hand anywhere in the room right now. Just lift your hand up, okay? If you'd like for me to pray. I see a couple of hands. Yes, okay. You just lift it up and you can put it back down. Okay. Anybody just lift your... Yes, yes, okay. All right, there were several of you. Several of you. Okay. Well, let me just pray. Now, the rest of us, we can just say it together. Okay, some of you didn't raise your hand. Hey, maybe you're saved. I'm not here to question that. Maybe you didn't understand what I said or what I taught. But remember, the word is a seed. My job is to sow the seed into your heart. And so if you raised your hand and you really meant it, then I want you to pray the prayer that I'm going to lead you in and really mean it to God, okay? And the rest of us, let's just say it so we encourage everybody. You ready? Let's say it this way. Lord Jesus, I ask you tonight to come into my heart, to change my life, to forgive me of all of my sin, of all of my past life. I thank you tonight that by faith I receive this great salvation. I thank you tonight that I am a new creation and all of my past has been cleansed. All of my sins have been wiped off the slate. And tonight, I receive you into my life as my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen.